From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, July 23rd. Coming up, we'll learn about how one high school in rural Illinois is teaching its students about sexuality. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The majority of Illinois' Democratic congressional delegation is backing Vice President Kamala Harris as the party's presidential nominee this fall. Those in the pro-Harris camp include every Democratic member of the U.S. House from Chicago and the collar counties. Illinois' two U.S. senators, Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, also endorsed Harris yesterday. Prosecutors have released the July 6th body cam video showing the shooting of Sonia Massey. She called 911 after suspecting a prowler in her Springfield home. Norman Hall reports.
Massey, who is black, was shot in the face by Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson, who is white. According to prosecutors, Grayson entered the house with another deputy, noticed a pot on the stove, and gave Massey permission to move it. When she put it on a counter, Grayson allegedly pulled his 9mm pistol and threatened to shoot her. She reportedly apologized, ducked for cover, and rose slightly when Grayson fired three times. He was fired last week and faces charges including murder. I'm Norman Hall.
Polls may help decide whether Vice President Kamala Harris has what it takes to be the Democratic nominee. Patrick Murray is the director of the Polling Institute at Monmouth University in New Jersey. He tells the 21st show that the polls are close.
If you see a race that's within 2 or 3 points, even if that's a consistent 2 or 3 points, that to me says this race could still go either way. We're not precise enough with the kind of volatility that we're seeing, particularly as close as this election is, particularly as polarized as our electorate is.
Murray says that since the race is so close, just a few hundred thousand votes could change the outcome of the election. The private foundation, the Commonwealth Fund, released a women's health care scorecard that shows Illinois is doing better than average but has room for improvement. Adora Namigada reports.
The foundation ranked Illinois 22 out of 50 U.S. states in overall access, quality, and outcome of care for women. Senior scientist David Radley worked on the report. He says Illinois scores well on addressing women's needs once they're already in the healthcare system. But those who are un- or underinsured suffer most.
8% of women in the state are still uninsured. Because Illinois is an expansion state, generally the uninsured rate in expansion states is a little bit lower. That 8% in Illinois was a little surprising.
This means single adults who make less than about $1,300 a month are eligible for Medicaid. Radley says the state needs to reach out to people who are uninsured to make them aware of their eligibility. Adora Namigadde.
Still to come, we'll learn about how one high school in rural Illinois is teaching its students about sexuality. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, after America won the Cold War, the early 1990s were supposed to be a time of peace. Instead, we saw rising anger and polarization, setting up conflicts we're still living with today. All this is the subject of a new book called When the Clock Broke. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk with author John Gans next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. In 2019, Illinois adopted a law requiring public schools to teach LGBTQ+ history, but that doesn't mean textbooks have been updated to include the new information. Yesterday, IPM's education reporter Emily Hayes looked at how one rural high school was teaching about race. Today, we're going to hear about lessons on sexuality.
Amber Cannon is non-binary and goes to school in Cuba, Illinois.
I've been out of the closet since fifth grade.
Around that time, Illinois' new law also came out, requiring public schools to teach LGBTQ+ history. In subsequent years, state lawmakers have also added the history of Black people before slavery, Asian Americans, and Native Americans. Cannon followed news of the new law, but saw little change in the curriculum.
I was just like, oh, those laws exist. Like, we never talked about any gay people in history unless I brought them up first, or any LGBTQ writers in English, or anything like that.
It wasn't until they were in high school that LGBTQ+ issues were taught. One reason for that is an absence of material in textbooks.
So I'm very busy in the springtime. Definitely more busy in the spring with track than I am with football.
In the nearby town of Lewiston, Matthew Pierce teaches high school U.S. history and civics and coaches girls track and middle school football. He's perched at a round, bar-height table at the front of his classroom.
Well, I've always taught African-American history, Black history. I've always taught Asian history.
That's because textbooks from companies like McGraw-Hill have long included units on everything, except...
As far as like LGBTQ history, there is none. There is none. So that puts a lot of people in a tough situation on what do I start to teach?
Pierce covers the 2015 Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage in his civics class and the gay rights movement in his civil rights unit. He also does his own research and is planning a trip to the Stonewall National Monument in New York City. Still, he'd like to have more direction, and he's not alone. University of Illinois education professor Asif Wilson says overall, teachers feel less prepared to teach LGBTQ+ history than other inclusive requirements.
The LGBTQIA community contributions, this was one that stood out. No significance here, though. So these aren't statistically significant, but are ones that we noticed in our analysis that teachers felt less prepared to engage in.
Wilson surveyed 1,000 teachers before they started the U of I professional development program that he leads. Some requirements date back years, like covering the Holocaust, but even among the recent additions, LGBTQ+ history stands out.
What are, like, some challenges of LGBTQ people specifically in small towns?
Back in Cuba, Amber Cannon social science teacher Joe Brewer has found one solution to the problem. Let students pursue the questions that interest them. Cannon recently interviewed an LGBTQ+ leader in Illinois rural development for Brewer's History Podcast Club.
Challenge-wise, to just families 100%. Not understanding?
Yeah, major. You know, a lot of problems around stigma, discrimination, family members.
This method is called inquiry-based learning, and Wilson says it's the state gold standard for teaching social studies.
Students ask questions. Students collect information. Students analyze that information, and they take action. Exactly what you do as a reporter, exactly what I do as a social scientist and a researcher, exactly what so many people do just to live their lives.
Wilson's training covers both the inclusive history and inquiry-based standards.
Maybe we need to explore what is local, what is relevant, what is meaningful to young people during their entire educational process and engagement with us. And that's hard for teachers.
Those trying to let students follow their interests oftentimes run into obstacles from the traditional school schedule.
How do I awaken that curiosity in students who are still exhausted from their chemistry, their math?
Brewer says he managed to awaken the curiosity of another student about the town's mining history, but they struggled to meet with the 95-year-old local expert within class periods.
Braxton got hurt in a football game, and he couldn't go to PE one day, and we were able to get permission to, can we go to Mr. Mallory's house during school so he can ask him these questions.
Amber Cannon also enjoys doing their own research, but they think LGBTQ+ education needs to go beyond individual student projects.
I think if it was talked more about in school, like from a younger age, that would be a lot easier for kids to understand, because I always think that kids don't start with biases. They come from parents and the people around them. So if there's a way to get rid of that bias very early via school, like preschool, kindergarten, whatever, would be a very beneficial thing.
For their summer break, Cannon is writing a novel which features a gender-fluid main character. Matt Pierce is attending workshops with Joe Brewer. He plans to ask his fellow teachers what they do for the LGBTQ+ requirements. In the fall, the next history requirement kicks in, and public school teachers will have to cover one unit of Native American history, including information on modern urban populations within the state. I'm Emily Hayes with Illinois Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 84 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Norman Hall, Alyssa Eaton, Adora Namigada, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.